The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The voice of the people. News Talk 710, KNUS, Denver. Most battles are won before they're fought. Peter Boyles on the voice of the people. News Talk 710, KNUS.
Straight up 6:00 dark outside. It actually got colder. 22 degrees in Denver now, still 24 in Aurora. I'm Randy Corcoran here for Peter Boyles. Peter will be back on Monday morning. And I looked a little deeper into this snow angel story I gave you right before the top of the hour. And it was 8 tons of ice that were brought to this 74-year-old Vietnam veteran's home and turned into snow so that he could get outside and exercise his last wish, which was to make a snow angel. And it wasn't just a kind of a passing thing. I guess he's a victim of Agent Orange and believes that that's why he now has a terminal illness. But the illness that he has causes burning sensations throughout his body, like living in a built-in furnace, he says. Lying in the snow was perfect relief to feel the coldness. All of that, it was really good. I was soaked, even to my underwear, but it was great. I don't think there's words to explain it. And if you'd like to just see a video that'll put a smile on your face, a sad smile, but a smile nonetheless, follow me on Twitter. I did retweet that. It came from Mark Levin this morning. And just wanted to share those details with you. Coming up on 6:02, one of the great things about being an activist in Colorado, being a radio host at 710 KNUS, is the high caliber of people you get the opportunity to meet, interact with, sometimes we hope make a difference with, and then some of them turn out to be friends. And our next guest is one of those people. So glad that we've come into each other's orbits with a big and busy year ahead, big changes coming to Colorado. I really admire people who stand up, and we've got one of them now. It's Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Randy, and I hope you had a Merry Christmas.
Boy, I did, and I know you are out of town. Are you back now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm back in action.
Don't know if you heard the announcement that I made, but when we had our Christmas gathering with the kids and the first grandbaby, my daughter was acting a little strange, and she got us all gathered around with cameras because she wanted to give the very first gift to the baby, to the new grandson, who just turned a year old about a week ago. And the first gift was a T-shirt that she put on him, and it said, on the front of the T-shirt, it said, "Santa promoted me to Big Brother."
That's awesome.
So,
that's,
yeah.
you couldn't ask for a better gift than that. That's great. Well, congratulations to your family.
Thank you, brother. And I hope you had a good one, too. Did you have family? I know you were out of state.
Well, we went up to Nebraska to visit my mom and stepdad, and then I had the rest of my family in on Christmas Day. So it was good. Great Christmas holiday, and you can't ask for a better thing than to be with your family.
Were you driving the 800 horsepower Mustang so you could get there a little quicker?
No, there's no driving the 800 horsepower Mustang in the snow. So we left that at home and took the family truckster. So
very good. Well, before we jump into Colorado, the shenanigans going on in Virginia, did you see the that 21 state AGs have asked, attorneys general have asked the Supreme Court to void a Maryland gun law that requires people who are seeking concealed carry permits to actually convince their local officials that they have a good and substantial reason to be granted a concealed carry. Have you been following that case at all?
You know, I haven't followed the details of it, but I've heard that undertone for years now. The whole concept of constitutional carry seems to escape so many people. That's just another infringement on or another barrier to add to keep lawful people from owning a firearm. You know, that's been discussed many times over the years.
Yeah, there's nothing new about it. I think we have the right construction on the Supreme Court to maybe put a stop to that law. It's very interesting how the left just continually, they don't recognize that the Constitution there is there to defend rights that we already have, God-given rights defined in the Bill of Rights, the things that government cannot do to us. We've had a couple of Supreme Court rulings that reestablish the fundamental right to keep and bear arms, and then subsequent cases that say that same right applies to the states. So I just don't understand. I do understand it. These states, these power brokers, these decision makers, these masterminds all want to just keep chipping away because they know if they just get the right judge at the right time, that they've got a foot in the door and always keep us defending, always keep us chasing.
Well, you're absolutely correct, and it's nonstop. I mean, they don't take a defeat and say, okay, that's the new rule, and walk away. Much like conservatives tend to do, we tend to be rule followers, and if a ruling goes against us, we tend to say, okay, well, we have to change the way we look at doing things, or we have to change our business practice. The liberals just say no. We'll try again, and we'll try again, and we'll try again. We'll take a different path until they finally get the outcome they're looking for. But, this is just one of those things that couldn't be more important in our nation's history right now, because we are at a tipping point, in my mind, where if we continue to give up our constitutional rights, we continue to give up our rights that are protected by the Constitution, we're not going to have too many left at this point.
I know you've been keeping a close watch on Virginia. You've sent me a couple of proposed bills of legislation from Virginia. What are you seeing going on out there as we're now just 5 days away from the enacting of the Colorado Red Flag Law, which you and I have been talking to people about now in different forums for months?
Well, I was lucky enough to travel down and do a border tour with Sheriff Scott Jenkins from Culpeper County, Virginia, and he was discussing, that his state was about to be the next Colorado. There was a kind of a blue wave that came through the state of Virginia, and lots of gun proposals that were going to be coming up through the state legislature, and we kind of had a discussion back and forth about, what would it look like if Colorado had done things differently ahead of, our last legislative cycle. And we were just, just banter back and forth in a van as we toured the Mexican border in Arizona. But, you could tell that the concern was, oh, no, we're about to come up against something that I don't know how to deal with. So he got back to his state, and that's when you started kind of seeing him talking about how he's going to deputize his whole county as a message back to the state legislature that we don't want red flag laws, we don't want gun confiscation orders, and that's kind of swept through their state. They're basically in defense mode right now, trying to let their legislature know that they don't want to become the next Colorado. Unfortunately, Virginia's set up much like Colorado, where you have a population center that doesn't necessarily represent the state in their opinions, but they're going to write laws that will dictate to the state of Virginia, much like Colorado, of how things are going to be done, whether it's the will of the people or not.
Of course, Democrats in Colorado will say, hey, 2018, they replaced those Republicans. They gave us majorities in both houses. We already have a Democrat governor. This is the will of the people. And so, what is your answer to that particular argument? We know elections matter, and right now it's the Democrats' toy box. They get to put together what they wish.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. It is the they have the majority in all houses. Unfortunately, there's for those guys, there's still this thing called the Constitution, and you can rewrite laws. You can come up with whatever new social agendas you want, but it still has to be within the framework that's set up for the state, whether that be the state constitution or our federal constitution. And it seems as if we have lawmakers that forget that concept, or they say, well, you know, now that we have control, we're going to go ahead and write something that may be a little in the gray area, with the idea that, you know, by the time someone fights it all the way through to, you know, a Supreme Court ruling, that, well, we still got our, you know, we still got our message through, or maybe no one will actually take it that far, and, you know, this law will stay on the books. That's not the way to legislate, though. Unfortunately, that's what you're seeing in many states, and Virginia is probably going to be the next. But if you're watching anything that's in the news or reading any of the articles coming through social media, it's a powder keg out there. The dividing line between conservatives and liberals seems to be much much narrower dividing line than maybe it was even here in Colorado in the makeup of the state. If you're into any historical facts, we know that there were many civil wars or civil war battles fought in Virginia, and that's kind of part of their DNA. So you hear a lot of those grumblings or rumblings that are coming from that state.
We're only 5 days away. And are you aware of circumstances in your own county where, you know, people have made, dropped a dime, so to speak, or reported a concern about an individual, you know, the kind of circumstances, the kind of fact pattern where that's going to fit right into this new red flag law framework? Is this a kind of a common thing in law enforcement, or is it something that just pops up every now and then?
Well, we have circumstances to deal with people pretty routinely that are not necessarily of sound mind and body, but those circumstances are usually rooted in some kind of violation of the law. So, you know, that's something that we, in fact, you know, my agency is currently dealing with a situation like that right now, but there's a criminal nexus underneath that call that they're going on. You know, creating this whole new standard where we're going to go out and disarm people with a red flag law with no criminal tie-in, that's uncharted waters for law enforcement. We routinely deal with people who may be in some kind of crisis. You know, they're suicidal, they're having talks of suicide. But, again, that's not necessarily a crime in the state of Colorado. And in those instances, we deal with the person. We go out and we try to figure out how to help that person out. That hasn't changed. The red flag law hasn't changed that. The red flag law hasn't changed the amount of those types of reports that are coming through, and it hasn't changed our stance. We're still going to go out and deal with the people who are in crisis. We're going to get them the help they need, but we're not going to do that by just willy-nilly filing for red flag orders and taking their guns away but leaving that person in crisis. In my mind, that's irresponsible, and I think if you talk to most people in law enforcement, they would agree that's not the right answer to the problem we're facing.
Talking with Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams, the leader of the Sanctuary County movement in Colorado, has said he will not enforce red flag orders. And is that going to be a case-by-case decision for you, or is it your position and perspective that the red flag law in and of itself is unconstitutional, so any orders that come out of that process are on their face unconstitutional?
Well, what we've said is my agency will not be an applicant for any red flag order that removes a lot of the provisions of the law if my agency is just simply not an applicant for them. So if we have two neighbors fighting and one of them comes into our office, we'll deal with the issue that they have, but we're not going to go apply for a red flag order on behalf of one of them. The only time in which we would actually engage with a red flag order is if someone, a family member, a household member, goes directly to the courts and they get that order behind our, so to speak, behind law enforcement's back. We're at least going to notify the person that they've been red flagged as the courts would require, but we're not going to go out and seize guns. We're not going to accept their guns into our office if they're trying to turn them in. We'll direct them to another option. But I think if a person's been red flagged, they at least need to know that they have an upcoming hearing so they can try to defend themselves as best they can. So that's the only action we'll engage in, is just, again, advising someone that they've been red flagged if that happens through a family member or household member.
All right. So much like serving a divorce summons or a civil complaint or something, you know, for a car accident or whatever, your sheriffs will still go through the process of knocking on the door, identifying themselves, identifying the person that answers, telling them what it is that you have in your hand, and leaving it with them so that they do have notification of their upcoming hearing and that they are under an obligation by the court to surrender their firearms. But you're not going to take the next step of stepping across the threshold of the door and actually going searching for those guns.
Yeah, and actually, we're probably going to take a step back even from that. My intention is for I'll be the only one in my agency that interacts with these. I'm not going to put my deputies into that situation. But I'm actually going to just try to have the person come to my office and meet with me. We'll serve them the paperwork. I'm not going to ask them if they own firearms because, quite frankly, I don't believe it's my business to know that. And we'll let them make the decision of whether they want to voluntarily turn over their firearms, if they have any in their possession, just like we would in any other civil process, such as a restraining order or temporary restraining order. Again, we give that person the option of whether or not they want to comply with that order, and take that path on their own, just as they would in any other civil issue.
It seems to me like you're doing a very smart thing here. You're really taking any level of discretion or risk away from your deputies so that you're not putting them at risk, or you're not putting them in a position where they themselves may be have to consider about that they're in violation of a court order, something along those lines, and taking the entire responsibility on yourself, which is, a real example of just tremendous leadership and care and control of your subordinates. But how, now that we're 5 days away, I mean, what are you thinking about? Do you have any second thoughts? Are you getting more kind of concerned about it? You must have those struggles with you, especially on those long drives to Nebraska.
Well, obviously it's not something that I ever thought we'd be dealing with in my law enforcement career. But I also can't have my deputies worrying about that in their law enforcement career. I'm an elected person. I knew that when I took on this job, there were going to be some tough tasks. And, I've said many times over, the buck stops with me. So, on one of these issues, this is, this is the way I find that I can best, control the narrative, figure out how to create the safest environment possible with the situations we run into out in the county, and not violate constitutional rights of the citizens of Weld County in the performance of my deputy's duties. So, this is just about the only way we can do this, and I'm not going to put my deputies' lives and livelihood at risk. That's what I get paid the big bucks for, I guess, so to speak, and that's the line that has to be drawn.
Well, County Sheriff Steve Reams, we've had our Arapahoe County Sheriff Brown at a couple of our red flag town halls that we've done over the last 6 or 7 months, and it seems like he also has serious concerns about enforcement of execution of these red flag orders, and that even though he was elected as a Democrat, and one might assume that somebody is naturally inclined then to, take the Democrat line, seems like he's going to be a source of resistance as well. Is there some level of coordination or interaction, conversation among the different sheriffs around the 64 counties of Colorado in trying to make sure there's some uniformity among those who intend to resist?
There hasn't been a specific coordinated effort. I mean, we've obviously talked, many of the sheriffs. We have, our state organization, the County Sheriffs of Colorado. And this has been a point of conversation for, the last year or more, when this concept first started coming up. I don't know how many sheriffs have taken the exact same stance that I have, but I've had plenty call and ask for a copy of our policy, which I've withheld publishing because I'm still quote unquote refining it up until the last minute, but there will be some sheriffs that will enact almost the exact same policy that I'm going to put out. But there'll be a variant of that for many of them who are saying, you know, this is just bad law. I'm trying to protect my citizens and my agency at the same time. I'm relieved to hear that Sheriff Brown is kind of going down that path, because obviously he and Sheriff Spurlock share some county boundaries, and I think there's some concern down in that area about, you know, one county to the next. How's the red flag law going to be used?
That's an interesting conundrum, because, of course, Tony Spurlock from Douglas County was at the forefront of advancing the red flag. In fact, the red flag law is named after the deputy that Sheriff Spurlock lost, Zach Parrish. And so with that contiguous border between Arapahoe and Douglas, there is likely to be some overlap there and some concern. And this is really another problem, isn't it? We have a statewide law, but we're going to have different counties enforcing it 100% differently, or not enforcing it at all, or enforcing just the bare minimum of giving someone notice that they've been red flagged. And so 2020 is going to bring some real curiosity, some real concerns, hopefully no injuries or fatalities, as we've seen in other states. I just wonder, do you have any idea from, you know, looking at statistics in other states, anybody speculating about numbers, how many red flag orders might be issued in the course of this very first year? Is there any way to know?
You know, there's not, and that's the thing. The state predicted, I think they said, 174 of these orders would be issued the first year. I'm going from memory, so I know it was 100 plus, but less than 200. You know, maybe that's the number. I don't know how that prediction gets made, but if you look state by state, it's all over the board, and it's really a matter of, in my mind, how compliant law enforcement is with wanting to utilize the law that's been provided to them in each state. The difference is Colorado's is so aggressive that, you know, law enforcement kind of takes a step back and says, man, I don't know how to do any of these, or I don't know how to do too many of these without employing my SWAT team. And that's, again, you know, if you really go through line by line and read the law, this one is a troubling, it's troubling legislation for law enforcement in Colorado. And so for that, I really don't know. I think you have some agencies that are going to say, hey, this is the tool we needed, and we're going to figure out how to use it. And then you have many agencies like mine that are saying, absolutely not. This isn't a power that government should have. So where that number lies, I don't know. But at 174 or whatever the number is, I think that's low. I would tend to think there's going to be more than that in the state of Colorado. I just hope that they're not in Weld County.
Yeah, baby. It's a big, big concern. We're up against a break, Steve. What's your time like this morning? I wanted to have you talk a little bit about, you know, from the citizen's perspective, as a law enforcement official who doesn't want to infringe on people's rights, how should they be, you know, thinking about this and you know, planning ahead for once this law gets implemented? Do you got time for one more on the other side?
I'm all yours, man.
All right, very good. And the other thing I wanted to ask you, since you're so close there to Phillips and Yuma counties, and we'll cover this on the other side of the break if you know, do you know anything about what's going on with these massive 6-foot wingspan non-government drones that are flying around Phillips and Yuma?
I have a little information, but we can cover that on the other side.
All right, sounds good. Perfect, my man. All right, Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams stays with us. I sure hope you will, too. It's the Peter Boyle Show, Randy Corcoran sitting in, and 710 KNUS.
This is the Peter Boyle Show.
Back at 6:30 in the morning, no sign of the sun just yet. Plenty cold as well, 38 degrees for the high today, some snow starting later on. Snow and colder tomorrow, 30 with an overnight low, Saturday night of 13, and low Sunday night of 8 degrees. So got to get some winter out of our system. So good to have you along. We'll get right back to Sheriff Steve Reams in 1 second. Want to preview the rest of the show. We'll be really excited to bring to you, if you haven't heard from him before, Lieutenant Colonel Buzz Patterson. Air Force pilot. He carried the nuclear codes for President Bill Clinton, lived right there in the White House, as I recall, and was the man who always set up the newspapers in the morning for President Clinton, and did so the morning that the headlines in all of the national newspapers were pictures of and the name of the girl in the blue dress, Monica Lewinsky. He's running for Congress in California. He's going to have a primary battle with Republicans. It's a Democrat-held seat, of course. Just endorsed by Sean Hannity last night or last day or two. And so that'll be a fun conversation. Now, before we get to him later, we'll be talking to the power ladies, Jen Kearns, someone you know well. She's done fill-in work here and a national figure now. And our old friend, Jenny Beth Martin. Jenny Beth Martin's new piece in The Hill, Why Donald Trump Will Win 2020. And Jenny Beth Martin was at a Tea Party event in Washington, D.C. She found out about our 921 rally. Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams had volunteered to replace me as when I was not planning to come back to MC that particular event. I managed to work it out so I could come out, but I was so impressed by Jenny Beth Martin when she heard what we were doing on 921 at the ICE facility and everybody that was going to be there and about our Second Amendment Sanctuary County Sheriff Steve Reams. Michelle Malkin, of course, was the headliner of that event, and she actually rearranged her schedule, booked a dead dog early morning flight to Denver, and we got into Denver pretty close to the same time. She rode with me over to the ICE rally, got to meet the sheriff and hook up with Michelle and everything else. And I was just really impressed by that, Steve, that somebody would think that what Michelle Malkin was doing, what we were all doing that day to stand in support of law enforcement and our ICE officials was so important to rearrange a flight schedule and fly to Denver after an exhausting week of having a national Tea Party rally in Washington, D.C.
You know, that was an amazing day, and meeting all the folks there was pretty inspiring. I mean, you know, unfortunately, the drive-by media in Denver didn't report on that as well as they probably should have. You know, the turnout we had there was tremendous, and the folks that you lined up as speakers were out of the park. I mean, I just thought that it was a patriotic day, and it was a great cause. I was just pleased to be a small portion of it, and happy that I got an invite. It was a great time and a lot of great people there.
So funny when an Aurora police officer came up to me and kind of leaned in and whispered in my ear and asked me if I was aware that some of the people in our side of the rally were carrying guns.
I had that same interaction, Randy. There was one of the folks from the Aurora Police Department. I won't say his name, but he leaned into me as well and said, "Hey, I just want you to know there are a lot of people here that are carrying a sidearm." And I laughed at him and I said, "You know, look, I understand your concern, but this isn't the crowd that you necessarily need to be worried about." And towards the end of the rally, he came up to me again and said, "Hey, you were absolutely right. These people were tremendous." So it just shows that, you know, there's this stigma around gun ownership, but the people there couldn't have been more patriotic and more proud of the work that the Aurora police were doing that day.
The truth of the matter is, although I know, you know, the Aurora police had the ICE facility girded and well secured, the area where we were rallying was the most secure square block or two in the state with or without the presence of the Aurora Police Department that day.
I would have to agree with you. I wasn't worried at all that day.
Not in the least.
I had no concerns that if things were to go south, that people were still going to be able to protect themselves and we were all going to be perfectly safe.
Tend to ramble on in the 5 o'clock hour with the news guy, and Jeff and I were going back and forth. What is your take? Are we starting a new decade on January 1st, or do we have to go another year until the end of this particular decade? Because as I learned in doing some research this morning, the letter zero did not exist at the time of the creation of the Julian calendar, which was then eventually replaced by the calendar we use, the Gregorian calendar. There was no year zero. So the first year on day one was year one. So are we ending a decade, or do we have another year to go in your from your perspective?
You guys talk about way more brainy things than I do, I guess. In my opinion, we're starting a new one, but hey, you know, I'm no scholar on this kind of information.
So well, 60.
I'm just going to go with 10 years. You know, hey, it looks like we're finishing 10 here to me. So
there was a YouGov.poll or YouGov.com poll that was conducted earlier this month, and 64% of Americans agree with you. The way I look at it is we had the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, the 2010s, and we're going to be starting the 2020s. So, screw all those pedantic brainiacs. Had a caller text in, asked Sheriff Reams if he's ever thought of having Wyoming annex Weld County.
You know, I gave a presentation up in Cheyenne to a Republican group up there, and I actually led in by saying, hey, you know, we're up for adoption if you guys are interested. And, you know, of course, it was kind of tongue-in-cheek and a little bit of a joke. But there were so many Republican lawmakers in that crowd that came up and said, yeah, you know, we'll gladly take you. It's a bit of a process. But, you know, truth be told, I don't want to leave the state of Colorado. I mean, I love this state. I believe in this state. What I want to see is Colorado become the Colorado I once knew and still remember. But having said that, if it looks like that tide's never going to turn, yeah, I guess I'd be open to saying, hey, Wyoming, come take us. But the likelihood of that ever occurring is pretty slim. I think we have a better chance of taking our state back and making Colorado the way it should be again.
Yeah, I was born here. Are you a native by any chance?
I'm not. Unfortunately, I moved here. I shouldn't say it that way. I was born in Texas, and I moved here in 1995, but this is my home. I've lived here longer than anywhere else, and, you know, this is where my kids have been born. And unfortunately, I guess I wasn't born here as a native, but I got here as quick as I could.
Fascinating. Another texter in the 710 KNUS Text to Studio app. Hi, Randy. Not sure if the rumors are true about the Virginia governor threatening to activate the National Guard to enforce their laws. Is that even legal to use them against U.S. citizens? Do you have an answer to that question?
So that is not just rumor. That is actual information that's come out in Virginia that I've gotten through people that I'm friends with out there in law enforcement. That threat or that comment was made. It would be legal for the governor to utilize the National Guard. He could nationalize the Guard to go out and enforce whatever laws, but obviously the president kind of has the trump card, if you will. He could federalize the National Guard and kind of turn that around, and we've seen that at points in our history through desegregation of schools and such. But, you know, when you start comparing the enforcement of gun laws to the desegregation of our schools, you know, that's a historical moment and not necessarily a good one. So I hope we don't go down that path. Actually, the legislature in Virginia is considering another law in conjunction with Red Flag that could make that a very troubling situation out there.
Well, people just don't understand, do they? We have Denver and Boulder, which obviously, you know, brings a vast number of votes into any statewide election issues that pop up. Democrats are in control of the state house. We get that. Because so many of them live in Boulder County, Denver County, or more liberal counties, and they're always talking to each other, they think that they are the pulse of Colorado. In Virginia, you've got a huge portion of North Virginia where, you know, Washington, D.C. has basically annexed all of the bureaucrats and their families and et cetera, that move into that area. And they are in control of that state. But there is a vast, wide swath of a not a huge state, but a vast, wide swath of patriots, some of the original patriots, the original genes, you know, the founders of this country. And it's no different in Colorado than it is in Virginia. There are way too many citizens that completely oppose what's going on here for the leftists who do have control of the Virginia and the Colorado legislatures right now, to think they're going to be able to just get away with this and not have tremendously and potentially dangerous pushback from the citizens.
You know, that couldn't be more true. I mean, just in touring around the state of Colorado, you know, I had the opportunity to go to some areas that aren't necessarily Republican strongholds, and I would have people come up and talk to me who weren't necessarily, you know, staunch conservatives. I wouldn't even call them libertarians. Many of them said, hey, I'm a registered Democrat, but I don't agree with what our legislature is doing when it comes to gun control. You know, and they would talk about their specific legislators, like, and say that's not what we elected them to do, even though, you know, they were from a Democrat area. So, you know, we talk about elections having consequences. Well, that goes both ways. I think you're going to see some Democrats really take a punch in the mouth, if you will, in the election season, not just here in Colorado, but in Virginia, because they didn't. They may be representing their party, but they're not representing the voters who put them in office. And I think those voters are going to push back and say, you know, enough's enough. That's not what we elected you to do, even if we elected you as a Democrat. But you get that group think or that, you know, that ideology of left-right march. And sometimes that's not necessarily what each individual elector of an area is expecting.
Yeah, pressure is mounting and building, and 2020 is going to be a fascinating year to see for sure. We didn't even get yet to your suggestions, your counsel, your kind of perspective for citizens. We certainly didn't talk about the drones yet, so I'm afraid you're going to be required to sit through another break if you're able to, Steve.
You got it. I'm here.
All right. The third thing I'd like to cover, so we'll do them quick on the other side. Are you involved at all in this Weld County launch of the Marijuana is Not Harmless campaign?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Not touching that baby, huh? All right. Very good. Well, let's go ahead and take our break. We'll continue. We'll wrap up with Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams here in just a couple of minutes. 642, The Peter Boyle Show, Randy Corcoran on 710 KNUS.
When radio counts, count on Peter Boyles.
All right, I'm not waiting forever. 649, Peter Boyles Show. Randy Corcoran here. Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams on the line. Jenny Beth Martin from Tea Party Patriots joins us in about a half an hour. Her latest in the Hill, why Donald Trump will win 2020. But in the five or so minutes we have left with the good sheriff, Sheriff, I definitely want to get your take on these drones, but it's far less important than any final words that you might have to say. I don't mean that literally, by the way, to our citizens as we get into the era of red flag here in the state of Colorado. I know you're not a lawyer, you're not giving legal advice, but from a law enforcement perspective, and especially maybe even looking into those counties where police officers may be enforcing these laws, including no-knock raids, et cetera, any tips for our citizens to keep themselves safe and as we get sucked into this horrible, horrible process?
Well, I think it's important for anybody out there, whether they're a gun owner or not, just to have an understanding of how their specific law enforcement agency intends to work with the red flag law, whether that's a municipality, a police department, or a sheriff's office. They need to know how law enforcement in their area intends to use the red flag law. And I guess the second piece of that is making your stance at your doorway, or making your determination at your doorway when law enforcement is there to knock on the door, is probably the worst idea possible. You know, you need to have a game in mind, you know who you're going to contact in case you are red flag. But I would never encourage anyone to fight a fight at the doorway of their home. The way to fight this is through the courts, so that your life isn't put in danger. Unfortunately, if law enforcement shows up with a red flag order in hand and they have, you know, the requisite search warrant to go along with it, fighting that fight at the doorway is probably not going to go well for a citizen, and I wouldn't encourage that at all. Just, you know your rights, know what the law says, know what the law means, and know how your local law enforcement agency intends to do business and work within those parameters. You know, there are a lot of good attorneys out there, you being one of them, and I would suggest that people kind of have all those things in mind and take the appropriate measures for if that time ever comes, and hopefully it doesn't, but if that time ever comes, how they interact with the law and not put their life at risk.
Yeah, I have always had my cell phone number, my email address on my business cards, but it never has it been more important for people to have access to, you know, virtually instant legal advice if they need it. But your wisdom in advising people, contact your local authorities, see how they individually are going to be handling these things, plan accordingly. And the thing that we've said at every town hall, including the ones that you attended with us, don't make a stand at the front door. For the most part, we all know about black robe syndrome with judges, and certainly there are cops who are, you know, are power hungry, but the vast, vast majority of the people are just out there doing their job. It's not personal, and they're not, you know, they haven't singled you out because it's you. So don't be a statistic. Don't be a news story. We'll fight this out in the courts. Hopefully there'll be some constitutional challenges that can emerge pretty quickly if they start, you know, really using this thing. And I think your advice is very, very good. Call your local authorities. Find out what they're going to do. I've been trying to get Arapahoe County Sheriff Brown on. Left a couple of messages. No return calls. And but if we can get him on sometime the next week or one of these Saturdays on my regular show, we will definitely do that so he can advise our local citizens what's going to happen. In the couple of minutes left, we have not been able to get any information. The story that Kelly found for me yesterday about these 6-foot wingspan drones that have been, seems like scouting a 25 square mile area in Phillips and Yuma counties, which is near to Weld County where you live. What's going on?
Well, you know, we're a big oil and gas exploration county, and, you know, oil and gas tends to use some technology that people aren't that aware of, and drones are one of those things. They use that for not only scouting properties to figure out, hey, can we use that piece of property for oil exploration, but they also use them for, you know, checking how secure their pipelines are. So after a major weather event, they'll fly what they call sniffers, looking to ensure they don't have any kind of leaks or anything. My assumption is that's probably what you're seeing out that way. Obviously, Colorado's not a very oil and gas friendly area right now, so the oil and gas industry would be a little hesitant to put that information out because, you know, they just don't want the publicity, period. And if nobody knows where it's coming from, that's probably good for them. And oftentimes it's a third party contractor anyway. So that would be my assumption. I haven't heard from the sheriffs out in Phillips or Yuma with any major concerns, so I'm assuming they probably have more information about what's going on than maybe is what being speculated in the news.
Does not appear to be anything related to the federal government from everything that we've been able to determine on this end.
Well, the federal government has far superior drones than that.
Yeah, good point.
They'd be flying them a lot higher.
Yeah, I mean, they can just use their satellites. They can just right. about pinpoint down to a blade of grass now with those suckers. So that's a really good point. You know, you and I have participated, and I know you're doing have done some up in Weld County, addressing different groups about the red flag law. Texter just asked, are there people available to give private red flag classes to my employees? And I've been asked to address several groups as we head into the new year, not just our sponsor and my friend Dick over there at Centennial Gun Club. So I'm certainly going to make myself available to educate folks like that, folks about those issues. And I imagine you'll continue to be talking about it to different groups, and there'll be plenty of people available to, you know, really spread the word.
Yeah, I've probably given close to 100 different presentations at this point about what red flag is and isn't, and I'll continue to do that for any group that wants to hear the true scoop on what this law means.
Yeah, I carry my notebook everywhere I go now, along with my 921 rally buttons. By the way, you probably don't have a 921 rally button, do you?
No, I don't, but I feel like I should.
Well, Sheriff, it's on its way, man. Text me I can send it to the sheriff's station, or text me your home address, and we'll stick those in the mail, brother.
Sounds good. I'll get right on it.
All right. Probably talked to you before, but if not, happy, happy new year. I know we're going to be in close contact next year as we see how red flag plays out. Just so grateful to you for your leadership and your integrity, standing on principles. When push comes to shove, that's really all we've got left if we want to preserve our state, preserve our republic. And so it's really an honor to know you and be affiliated. I appreciate your time this morning here on 710 KNUS.
Thanks again for having me on, Randy, and it's great to have you as a friend.
All right, buddy. God bless you. Happy New Year. Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams will be back with some open lines. 303-696-1971. Jenny Beth Martin from Tea Party Patriots will join us at about 725. It's 710 KNUS, the Peter Boyle Show. Randy Corcoran here.